Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
I want you to blow the shofar, brother. The shofar is a horn made out of a horn of an animal. Call us unto Him. And the shofar was used. When you see the word trumpet in the Bible, it's actually translated shofar. They used the shofar to call the troops to attention, to call the troops to war, to call the troops to rally together. Various many different reasons. But I want you, our Jewish brother here, to stand and blow the shofar, and I want you to pay attention to God and listen. Let the sound be whatever it is God wants it to be in your heart. Why don't you stand up too? This is a sacred moment. Praise God.
In the scriptures in Nehemiah 4:20.
Now you need to hear this.
In the scriptures in Nehemiah 4:20. The Bible says that where the sound of the shofar is sounded, there will our God fight for us. Mm. And I was reminded this morning as I thought about the shofar that we fight not to obtain victory,
right,
but we fight from victory.
Amen.
As we see the victor's crown, we are crowned with His victory.
Amen.
Because of the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Who conquered sin, hell, death, and the grave. His is the victory.
I agree. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your victory. We declare your victory, God. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Yeah. Come on, give a shout of victory. Yay, God. We believe your victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yay. Shout in the name of Jesus. Victory is ours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We shout before we see any walls coming down. We believe before. You have to test it. Those things you have to test, you have to judge according to the Word of God. And as I came down here this morning in prayer, and I sat down, it just flowed out of me. And I don't even know if I can read all my writing again. But this is what I believe the Lord said to me for all of us. You are here to be still. Unclutter your life. Fasting. Quieting yourself. Rid yourself of anger, wrath, malice, slander. Speaking negative, focus, looking, intentionally looking away from other things to focus on me. I want you to be unhurried, rested, well, at peace, content, trusting me in and through and for all things. I want you for myself first. I am your true first love. Come back to your first love, me. You are hearing me. You just need to focus so that those other voices of other lovers are not getting your attention. I want you to be able to sit still like an animal hiding in the brush whenever danger comes. Be still in me, and the enemy will not see you as you are still and rested and trusting in me. And know that I'm with you. That's a word I believe is from the Lord. You take it, you judge it according to the Word of God, and apply it accordingly. Thank you, God. I believe that. I believe it. Praise God. 2020, here we are. I want to talk to you this morning about vision. All this month, I'm going to be talking to you about vision. the next sermon that I do on this particular, in this particular month, not next, some of the things that God is showing me on what our church is supposed to be doing and what we will be doing in 2020 and beyond. But today I want to focus on you, because you are very important. You play a vital part into the plan of God, not only the eternal plan of the ages, but your personal part. You are vital. God cherishes you. He cherishes you. And many of you are beginning a fast today, or maybe you've already begun. Last week I encouraged the church to begin a Daniel fast. If you don't know about Daniel fast, look up on the internet. There's lots of material there, easy to find out. Basically, it's vegetables and not eating certain other things, sweets and things. But you decide that. And I'll get into that in a few moments. But I want to start right now by helping you understand the number 20 is a very important number. In the Hebrew language, they assign a numeric value to certain letters. And the Hebrew letter for the word 20 is the word kaf. Kaf, like a cough. And it has a numeric value of 20. Somehow these things have a numeric value. And the idea of 20 is that it is to be a year where you bring into focus, like 2020, perfectly fits there. You bring into focus, you rid yourself of some things in order to focus on the most important things. And actually, the word, the letter kaf, which is the Hebrew letter for the word 20, it actually is a picture of an open hand, like this. A hand of God giving, God redeeming, God paying back some things that maybe you did not have or what were stolen from you. It's an open hand this way where God's giving to you, but it's also a hand this way, a hand that's covering you. So 2020 has to do with the mystery of all these things that God is doing in very significant time in our life, where God wants us to realize He has an open hand toward us. If we'll believe, only believe is kind of a theme for this year. Only believe. Only believe. Fear not, but only believe. To believe God and accelerate and come. You remember in John, where Jesus had just fed 5,000 people. And then he and his disciples, they got in a boat and they were going to the other side. And Jesus says this question. And sometimes Jesus said things that were mysterious and very profound and people didn't know what to do with it. And this is, he just simply said when they got in the boat after feeding 5,000 people miraculously with miraculous bread. He said, "Beware of the yeast of Herod and the Pharisees." And that's all he said. And the disciples are talking among themselves. What does he mean by that? What was he talking about? And they thought, is he saying, beware of the... Maybe he's saying, because we didn't bring enough bread with us, we forgot to bring loaves of bread with us, we left them all. Is he saying, because we don't have enough bread, is that what he's talking about? And that's not what he was talking about. So when they got to the other side, Jesus had a man brought to him who was blind. Jesus laid his hands on him, and a man had never seen before, but they're like trees walking. I can see, I never seen before, and I can see men move, but they're like trees walking. And then Jesus touched him again, and he had perfect sight. I've heard some people say, in error, well, see, even Jesus had to give a second touch. No. Slap yourself, because that's the spirit of stupid.
Right.
You're talking about the creator of the universe. Oh, Jesus had to touch him again because he didn't have enough power to do it the first time. Are you crazy? He did it to illustrate to the disciples who were with him, who just saw a miracle of 5,000 people fed with a tiny loaf of bread. And now they're saying, we don't have enough bread. And he's saying to them through this illustration, you can see, but you're not seeing clearly. You're not blind anymore. But you're not seeing clearly what I'm doing in your life and what I have for you. You need to focus. You can see, but you stay seeing clearly. I'm talking to us now. We can see, but we're not really seeing clearly what God's doing in this world. And I absolutely love this time of year. We've done this before in January. Like, we'll join with many churches around the world, and we'll call a fast in January. They're our first month of the year. And a fast is, what is fasting? Some people are totally unfamiliar with that. Well, fasting is literally means to cover the mouth or to restrain from eating food. Now, people say, well, you can fast media. You can, yeah. But specifically, the Bible's talking about food. And it's not the part of not eating. It's the part of prayer and fasting go together. And a fast is a time that you specifically designate to spend an extra amount of time alone with God and denying your body what it wants. If you want to know more detail about fasting, come on Wednesday nights. This Wednesday night, I'll be teaching more about that subject, the purpose of it, how to do it, some intentions, and the why does God want us to do doing here. I want you to understand, though, that the fasting that we're doing here as a church has to be intentional. Everything we do this year, one of the key words that I believe that God has clarified to me this year, thrilled and delighted from Him, and He put it in your heart. And then when you say, I want to fast, I've never done that before, or whatever. Whether you fast one day, 5 days, 10 days, whatever, that's up between you and God. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, when you fast. So He left it up to you. The details are up to you. How are you going to fast? What are you going to do? A Daniel fast is still some food. It's not the hardest fast. The hardest fast is when you do without any food whatsoever, just drink water. It's very healthy for you. But I don't want to focus on that. It's not a diet. Sometimes people focus way too much on, well, what can we eat and what can we not eat? You got to be careful. You become legalistic with that. It's not about the food. It's about the intentional choice of, I am going to steal away time and spend extra time with my Father. I'm going to deny my body, which seems to dominate my life so much with appetite and eating and all this kind. I'm going to purposely deny and spend that time I would normally be eating in extra time in prayer and reading the Word. It's intentional. And it's a great time to do that, this particular time of year. You decide the details. But when you fast, your spiritual life is actually accelerating. You're strengthening the inner man, the spirit part you don't see, and you're denying the outer man, the part that you do see, and you're causing acceleration. A lot of people don't understand what holiness is. A lot of people try to define holiness as not doing this, not doing that, not doing this. And yeah, it's part of that. But true holiness is not focused on what you don't do. It's focused on what you do. The word actually means set apart. Something is holy, it's set apart for a special purpose. You have special china. You don't use it on an everyday common thing. It's for something. We're to be set apart for God. And fasting is a time where you accelerate. In fact, there's a scripture in Isaiah 35 that talks about the highway to holiness. There is a highway to holiness. And the word, our idea of holiness is not about what you don't do. You can become very legalistic with that. Become very religious. Listen, Muslims do that. Other religions do that. No. Your fast is about what you do. You're separated unto God. You're purposely going after God. You're accelerating. When you get on a highway, now we have regular roads out here in front of the church and all around here, but if you get on the turnpike, you get on the highway, You don't have stop signs, and you don't have stop lights, and you don't have a lot of these things that you have normally around you. You accelerate on a highway. You get to your destination faster on a highway. And God is saying that holiness is one way you accelerate in your life. Fast will make you faster spiritually to get to the goal that God has for you and Him. And He's absolutely thrilled and delighted when you say, I want to accelerating. Are you understanding? In early 1900s, there was a great revival. Pentecostalism pretty much began there, called Azusa Street. And the Azusa Street revival was one in which the people were so fascinated with the manifestations of God that were happening in a very small group of people, by the way, at the beginning. They were so fascinated by the manifestations of God that were happening that the things that were going on in the world seemed to lose their interest. They were not interested in all that was going on. They were more focused on the things that God was doing. And they got a name, a nickname out of it. People used to call them holiness people. They were holiness people. They were people who had set themselves aside from the things of the world because they were more interested and fascinated with the things of God. That's where the term holiness actually came from. And when you're fasting, when you're praying, when you're spending more time than you normally do in your normal routine with God, then that's what you're doing. You're accelerating. You're stepping onto the highway. You don't have to make stops every red light. You don't have to stop at the where there's no stop signs. You're accelerating in your spiritual walk with God when you spend time in prayer and fasting. Are you understanding? What's the goal of life? Why are we here? 2020, we're still around. Must be a purpose. This past year, God spoke to me very clearly when I went away for a time of prayer retreat, and He gave me a word that we've heard before, but this is a word that He reminded all of us of, and we had a big banner up here, and it was, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Our part as the keepers are to make sure we keep the main thing the main thing. We get easily distracted. We get busy. We're doing things. We're busy people, places to go, people to meet, things to do. I understand. Life is like that. I understand. But the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Fasting helps you do that. Helps you slow down. Helps you declutter your life. You don't need to do everything. A wise man told me years ago, and I never forgot it, he said, you actually only need to do about five things. I said, really? What are they? He said, the first thing in the morning on your number, on five of things you can only do in one day is you get up. And at the end of the day is to go to sleep. Now you have three choices. What are the top most important things that you need? Most of us are today, not busy. You think you have to do all these things. No, you don't. You can delegate things, you can drop some things, you can say it's not for today, I'll do it another day. But when you get in a hurry routine, that's when mistakes happen. That's when you miss something. You miss some appointments that God has for you because you've got a rush to get from number three to number 10 so you can get your to-do list done, and you've missed people along the way that God had divine appointments for you for. You didn't have time for that. You need to slow down. Fasting helps you slow down. And Daniel fasting, you're eating food. It ain't like you're starving. It's easy. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we're encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that easily entangles us, and let us run with patience, endurance, the race that's set before us. Notice this term witnesses. I used to think that the cloud of witnesses, which is referring to Hebrews 11, the hall of faith, you know, it talks about Abraham, Moses, Samson, all those great heroes of the faith. I used to think that they were up there in heaven peering over the clouds, kind of looking down at us. That's not what this is talking about. We have a great cloud of witnesses. Sometimes you lift up people way too high on a pedestal. Abraham was just like us. He was afraid one time, even lied. Moses was a man like us. He got so angry, he killed a person. He said, these cloud of witnesses are not someone that's looking at us. We're to look at their example and see that they had flaws. They had dysfunction in their families. They had issues to deal with, but they persevered. They endured through it all, and we're to look at them to see how we're to run our race. Their race is over. Our race is here. Our race is today. The event of your life is the race, your inner race, not how fast you go. Endurance. It's a marathon. Will you have the endurance, the patience, to be able to finish the course? Will you stay on course? Will you keep focused? Are you going to be easily distracted? And so all this is talking about endurance. We got to have endurance. Run the race. Run with patience or endurance the race. And this word patience is the word hupomone, which actually means to accept things. Now listen, it doesn't mean to be passive. It doesn't mean say, well, I can't do anything about it. So, no. It means a determination to stay the course, to believe the word in spite of your circumstance, a patience with God. His word is true. It always works. It never fails. It's a patience with God. Run your life, run your race with patience with God, patience and endurance. You may have to go through some things. God may not stop some things. He may allow you to go through some things, but you've got to go through it with endurance and determination that you're coming out of this. You're on the top. You're not below. You're an overcomer. You already have victory. You don't have to pray for victory. You have victory, and you are to believe this. Actually, the race part is the word agony. Agony. There are some times in life it's an agony. There's agony in life. There are things that we go through. And we need to encourage one another. The event for your life is the race you have. You have a race set before you. Your race is different from my race. That's why we're not looking at one another and see how fast we're going. No, it has nothing to do with that. It's your race. You need to focus on your race. And the encouragement for us is this. We need to lay aside every weight and sin. I'm a believer. The weight are things that you're carrying on you right now, even in church, that should have been gone a long time ago. Grudges against somebody. Oh, now you know you don't speak ugly to them, but you just avoid them. Bitterness, unforgiveness. You don't realize it. I don't feel any weight. You're carrying weight. You need to get rid of that. You know, when you go through a field in the summertime around Florida, especially in the South, you get these little things called sticker burrs on you. You know what sticker burrs are? Sand spurs. You can walk through but not even know it. And next thing you know, you get to your house and you got these things all over your pants. You didn't even know you had them. You can pick up things, grudges, offenses, unforgiveness, and bitterness, and not even know you're carrying it around. Negative attitudes and so forth. And yet God tells us in His Word to believers, lay aside that weight. Paul is more specific. He said, put off. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, slandering people. Put it off of your life because it's a weight to you. It's a weight to you. Now listen, there's probably people here got issues with somebody in this church for whatever reason. Maybe you were done wrong, treated wrong, whatever. Listen to me. Drop it. Amen. I don't. In some issues, you don't have to go to a person and say, brother, this is why I felt this way. They may not even know as you're mad at them. Don't go do that. You stir up all kinds of problems. But you know, brother, I'm. And some people, what you could do, listen, some things, listen, this is how you can do some of it. When you put it away, you don't think about it anymore. You refuse it. It comes to you. Nope. I put that away. And you don't even have to bring up the issue because you put it away. Are you understanding? It's necessary to reconcile. But for the most part, most of these little things, these little sand spurs that get on us in our spirit, all we got to do is just keep loving them. I'm not going to remember what you did to me. I'm going to love you. You're my brother. I'm going to love you. Next Sunday, we get the privilege of going back to a little church that we pastored a long time ago. And I remember one particular time, this one man in the church, and he's still alive, he was giving me a headache. He was a leader. He was a strong leader. And he was a smart man and a good man. And he's a brother in the Lord. But I just about had all I was going to put up with him anymore. And I was going to tell him, look, I made up my mind, my speech and everything. Here's what I'm going to say. You're not the church boss and you're not my boss. Now, you're a deacon and I appreciate your help. But if you can't, you know, I was going to tell him all my stuff, you know. A stranger, never met, never saw again, stopped by my office one day, said he was passing through town, said he says he's a prophet of God. Now, I'm in a Baptist church at that time, so I'm going, yeah, really? You're crazy. And he said to me, the Lord had me stop here and give you a word. I said, oh, really? I want to hear. What is it? He said, the Lord said to me, he says, you're having trouble with a man in your church. Be careful how you treat him, because he's a brother. That's all he said, and he left. Well, I judge that to be a word from God. Instead of doing what I was going to do and give him what for and tell him this and that and all, I started treating him with love, and really, that word just stayed with me. Be careful how you treat him. He's a brother. Church, I may be a stranger before you today, but I've come to tell you, be careful how you treat that one that's causing you a headache right now. May God help me tap on the brakes, slow down, and was, and I don't want to, and we're still close. He's been here to this church many times, and love him dearly. He's precious to our family, but I was about to mess things up. Get the sand spurs off. You got them. You got to look down there and see. God, is there anybody that you want me to just forgive and drop the issue? Just tell me. Just ask him that. He may tell you right now. He may tell you later. I'm speeding things up. I want to go to the example for our life. It says, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This word looking, it's the only place in the Bible it's used. Greek word is used is right here. Looking to Jesus. And it means to look away, intentionally look away from other things so you can focus on Him. It's like, how many of you in here, you jog or you run? Raise your hands. I think we're getting to be an older congregation. How many of you used to run? Yeah, me too. There are runners, and then there are runners. People who are training to get to the Olympics, they run. They don't just jog. And they're going to become an Olympic athlete, or they're running to marathon. You could say they're professional. They're intentional. They don't do it occasionally. Professional. May I say this to you, and I hope you understand it. If you're born again, you're a professional Christian. So what's the difference between a professional and an amateur? Well, a professional gets paid for it. You know God pays you to be His friend? He provides for you. He pays you to be His friend. How good does that get? He pays me to be His friend. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's writing our story. He started it. He wants to finish it. But you've got to give him the pen. Quit trying to write your own story. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And look at the example. Who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He had to endure things. He's our example. Well, you may say, well, I'm not Jesus. I understand, neither am I. But he lives in me. But I'm not at the level of the Son of God. I'm a son of God, but I'm not at the level of the Son of God. But all of Hebrews 11, which this verse that we're talking about, Hebrews 12:1, is referring back to, therefore, since we have our race to run, let us lay aside all these things. It's referring back to all those witnesses. One of them in particular was a man by the name of Moses. You may not be Jesus, but Moses was just like you and me. And it says of Moses in, verse 24 and through 26, you just need to hear this. This is really before. It says of Moses, by faith Moses, when he became of age, he refused, everybody say refused, to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now he's an Egyptian prince. He can have whatever he wants. But he refused, once he found out that he was born a Hebrew, he refused to be called an Egyptian. Someone say, you're an Egyptian. No, I'm not an Egyptian. I'm a Hebrew. He refused that. And then choosing, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a time. He had anything at his beck and call. If he wanted any kind of pleasure, he could have called for it and they'd have brought it to him. But instead, he chose. That's what life's all about, choices. He chose instead to be identified with the people of God. And then it goes on to say that he esteemed the reproach of look to the reward as greater than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Three things. He refused some things, he chose some things, and he esteemed some things. That's what you're doing with your life in 2020. If you're going to focus, if you're going to aim, if you're going to hit the target that God has for you, it's all about choices. Where are you going to go? Is it going to be 365 days from today? We'll have another new year. You're going to be pretty much the same? Not if you'll choose some things and refuse some things and to esteem that as valuable time. We're doing it as a church together. People will do anything for Jesus except endure any shame or embarrassment. Being associated with him. They won't tell people they love Jesus. They won't worship Jesus like God wants them to worship, because they're embarrassed. They don't want to feel ashamed. They don't want people looking at them. They want people thinking about them. People do almost anything for Jesus except endure any shame or embarrassment. Sometimes I think that's why God wants us to dance in church. How humiliating is that? Especially when you can't dance like me. I just hop around like a rabbit. It's not about the action part. And then the ending of our life. I'm going to close. This service has gone too long, and I don't apologize, but I just want to end the message here. Verse 3, the ending of our life. For consider him who endured all contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you become weary and faint in your minds. Satan is intending to make us weary, give up, quit. Don't believe that victory's coming. That's Satan's intention. He is good at it. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So I don't know what God's called you to do. I don't know what he's called you to do. I just know what he's called me to do. I don't wake up every morning delighted to do it. Sometimes I think a Walmart greeter would be a great job. The door for people and I say, "Welcome to Walmart. We're at a restaurant." For the call of God upon my life. But you can get weary. You're a mom at home and you're raising your child. Or you're homeschooling. You can get weary. But God's called you to do it. You're doing things at church. You're working yourself to the bone like Steve and Kathy. You get tired. You get weary. But if God called you to do it, you do it. You got an assignment, a job at church that you feel like God called you to do. There are times it's not convenient. Ministry is never convenient. But you do it because I'm called to do this. I don't know all the details of my calling, but I know what God has called me to do. And I've got to focus on that. And I've got to finish well. And quitting is not an option. Amen. Giving up is not an option. Amen. Unless God tells you to. It's not an option. Amen. Would you stand with me, and ushers, altar workers, come up and stand with me. I want to give you an opportunity this year, I believe, to begin this year before the Lord, asking him to help you with this fast. Maybe today you came and this is the first you heard about that. And yet, there's a desire in your heart saying, I'd like to do that. I'd like to know more about that. Come up here to the altar, and you don't have to talk to anybody, but just talk to God about it. And say, now, Lord, I'd like to know more about that, and I'd like to do that. If you'll give me the grace to do it, I'll do it. And he will. The key is focus, vision. Be intentional about your life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. When I preach that God speaks to various people about things in their life that I know nothing about. And somehow, some word that God put in my heart to speak or say during the sermon, it connected with them. The Spirit just quickened them. It just got their attention. That was God. How he does that. Always amazed. And I tell you, God gave you the capacity to hear him. You can hear God. You got to stop listening to all those other lovers' voices calling you here and calling you there. You need to set aside your life in this first month to hear God, to be intentional. Start journaling. I don't know what it is for you. Spending more time in prayer. Whatever it is. But if you don't intend to do it, nothing's going to happen. If you don't make a decision of the right choice that God wants you to make, nothing's going to change. Everything's going to stay the same. You got to believe that God has better for you than this. He wants you to come up higher. He wants you to ascend. He wants you to take you out into the deep waters and let you experience the miracles, signs, and wonders that you've only read about and heard about. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 2020. Do you know what time it is? For some of you, this is the last quarter of your life. This was the last lap. For some of you, this may be the last year. I don't know. This is important. We're not doing this just to have something to do. This is important because we're listening to God and we're saying, now, God, help me. I need help focusing because I cannot do what you want me to do. I'm overwhelmed with my life, with all the things. I need you to help me focus on what you say is the most important thing. And if anything I've said today speaks to your heart, I would ask you, urge you, plead with you. Don't stand there like a wooden soldier. Get out of your pew and at least come up here and talk to God about it. You say, why can't I talk to God right there where I am? Well, you can. But it takes more faith to make a movement. Faith without works is dead. Believe that you're talking to God right here, face to face, and He hears you. And go away with the confidence that He's going to help you do what He's called you to do. So right now, you don't have, before I pray, just start moving. Just come up to the altar and just talk to God about alterations that got to have a quiet life in the Christian life. I need to not be ashamed of you. I need to be bold about witness. Whatever, come on, come on, come on. You got something God has talked to you about. What a shame to go to church and hear one thing that God speaks to you and you don't take it and run with it and apply it to your life. This is your moment. You got to be intentional. Intentional. No one drifts to the top. You've got to be intentional about going there. Intentional. Intentional worshipers. Intentional about spending time with God. Now, Father, I've done everything I know to do. I've preached what I believe you gave me to give. I give it out freely, gladly, thankfully for it. And I pray, Father, you'll watch over your word, which you said you would do, and you'll make sure that it does not return void. It will accomplish what you sent it forth to do today. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for the people that are at the altar, and I pray that you'll minister to them in a great and mighty way. In the name of Jesus, let everybody say amen. If you'll give us a minute before you leave, Pam and I are going to go to the door. There we can meet our new visitors. God bless you. Wednesday at 6:30. Tonight at 6 o'clock for worship. Hallelujah.